So here we are, a pre-show on Thursday. Is today Thursday? I still got this scab on my fucking throat. I realize it's gross, but it's like, it was just sun damage. It was, believe me, I had like the dermatologist, who I got a great dermatologist, Dr. DeStefano. It's bugging me because it's fucking, you know. Anyway, it's cool. It's fine. But it's creeping me out, man. I gotta get, you know, I don't know what. So what else am I doing here, man? Oh, so this is our Thursday show, and then tomorrow we will originate from here, from the El Pacifico, and then on Saturday we will be originating from San Francisco, and then we'll be back with our regular show on Monday. So it'll be just fantastic. So there's this controversy having to do with the National Football League and the goddamned footballs, and I don't know what that's about, man, but somebody says that the New England Patriots are apparently, you know, allegedly, somewhere along the line, were underinflating the football, or overinflating the football, however, underinflating it, so it makes it easier to grab. And I don't know what the I don't know, when a football comes into the game, whose football is it? Apparently, teams have their own footballs. Now, this is all well and good, with the exception of the fact that, you know, that means that the league is not controlling these balls, and we have all kinds of marvelous stuff that's happening. So we're going to be talking to Jerry Derwacken, I think, is a good name for him, with the league office. Not with the league office, with a watchdog, NFL watchdog blog. Hi, Phil. Yeah. Well, Phil, this is, this has been a constant problem. You know, the thing I liked yesterday about Don Mixa was the coffee. You know, he's very relaxed. He said coffee. I love to drink coffee. I have glasses, and he's relaxing that. Get a cup of coffee, and, you know, everything's good. I don't want this guy to sound too much, but hi, Phil. Yeah. I want him to sound a little bit like Lindsay Nelson. Maybe he has a New York accent. Well, this is a problem. Well, the league, yeah, okay. I've also been experimenting with the stuff I want to do on the at the Sketchfest, how I want to present things, and so that's kind of taken up. It's not taken up so much time of actual rehearsal time as it takes up worry time. Just what am I, you know, head fucked up head stuff. Let me get this thing squared away here. Yeah, okay, we're good. And let me look at this. Okay, we all set to go? Okay, we're rock and roll? Good. I never know when, if I've got enough, if I'm actually doing this properly. Yesterday we did Mavis. I really enjoyed Mavis yesterday. Oh, I know what, I want to get Ted Bell here.
Party girls in my party world.
All right.
Now, this Jerry Derwacken, is this a real football?
No, he's as real as you are, Margaret.
Well, that's insulting, because what is that supposed to mean? He's as real as I am.
He's as real as you are.
Well, then he's not very real, is he?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I need party girls in my party world.
Yeah, something changed with the resolution on the screen. Something in terms of, you know, the bits per whatever, because it's, we've got a little bit of a blackout that happens there. I don't know if any of my crew are watching, but you can see when the slide goes to black and then boom. So that's, it's not a critical thing. I think it's something having to do with the upload computer here, but it's obviously something that if we have, you know, nothing else to do, we could look into it and correct it. Don't Dunphy Brothers, Ted Bell.
You know, I wanted to talk to you about Kevin Cornell and...
Live, Phil, this is Kevin Cornell. And welcome to Kevin Cornell. You don't... Kevin is not a good guy to interview because he'd be a guy that's just doing a pitch. Kevin Cornell Show here. This is Kevin Cornell, and this is Real Estate on the Line. Kevin Cornell's Real Estate on the Line here. I think I want to do a Kevin Cornell segment up in San Francisco, too. I think I'm going to roll Kevin out. What do you think? I want to roll out Kevin Cornell. I need party girls. If you're looking at the homepage of our website, you may be looking at the homepage of our website. I think it's kind of cool. Alex posted the, he posted a clip of the show on the homepage. That's where I think it ought to be, man. You know, put it, I think it's good to have it, you know, on YouTube and all that shit, but lay it on the homepage, man. Let's get the fucking traffic to the homepage. Now, I don't know whether you guys are going to be able to hear this or not. Oh, I see. Network. Okay, well, that's from that. And I got to certainly, you know, I was letting the, I was letting my video cast audience enjoy that, but it also means that the audio-only podcast pre-show audience probably couldn't hear it. And I, yeah, you couldn't, because I can see it's just like all fucking dead air there. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Well, we'll just have to cut that out. Won't we? I got to remember to cut that out because that's going to be a significant bit of dead air in the pod. For those of you who are listening to the podcast on audio only, I just ran a clip from the show yesterday. It was a video clip that we posted on our website, and just ran it for kicks on the video cast, which probably was not a very bright idea, but it gives you an idea what, if you didn't watch it, what it looked like. All right. So there's that. What else? Yeah, so the NFL is going to be dealing with this whole thing. I was writing down Kevin Cornell gets rolled out of the... gets rolled out for his real estate hour. I'm going to really look forward to driving to San Francisco. I always do look forward to driving to San Francisco, and this is going to be particularly pleasurable because it allows me a time to... to enjoy the rolling countryside of California and to enjoy relaxing. Driving is relaxing for me. I don't know, you know, maybe you're the same way as me. I like to drive, and it does relax me. Some people will say to you, oh, let me drive. You need to relax. I'll say, well, that's how I relax. You know, if you let me drive, I'm fine. You know, I'm a good driver. I really am. I've got, in my entire life, I have less than 5 tickets. And I mean that. I'm being very serious now. In my entire life, I have less than 5 moving violations and probably less than 4. I mean, I remember one speeding ticket I got. I got 2 tickets for speeding. These are moving violations. Now, if you bring it down to like expired registration, that probably adds another 2 or 3, maybe. Total of 5. Seriously. So 2 speeding tickets. Oh, and I rolled through a stop sign once on a motorcycle. So make that 6. And that's when I was just starting out in life. Just starting out on wheels. I had a motorcycle that I was... fucking around with one. I was on my way back to work, as a matter of fact, and I just zipped right through this. I didn't zip right through, but I rolled right through a stop sign and right in front of a LA County sheriff, and that was the end of that romance. Okay. Nice going, Phil. Let's see what we got here.
Let's party again.
There was the interesting story as well that had to do with Ludacris. Not Ludacris, a 50 Cent who threw out a first pitch. And I guess it was for the Mets season. And it had to have been from this past, the beginning of the 2014 season. I don't know what the hell he'd be throwing a first pitch out now for. But it was making it went a little bit viral because it was such a god awful pitch. And I don't know why it went viral now, and I'd have to look and see. Let me see what that's about, man. Oh, the other thing is I gotta really watch. I'm watching my P's and Q's on Twitter. Michael Moore made some series of comments about snipers being cowards and this and that, and it had to do with the popularity of the movie American Sniper. And then he went on to explain. He said, well, my father said to me that snipers were cowards and that they would shoot you in the back. And Michael Moore's claim is that his father was a member of the 1st Marines and that his uncle, who was also a Marine, was shot in the back by a Japanese sniper in World War II. It's good. I don't doubt that. So I said, if you had a Marine Corps father, wouldn't you have learned a few sit-ups, you know? And I got jumped by just a couple of people. It wasn't a bad thing. A couple of people said, you know, that's a cheap shot, Phil. I didn't argue with anybody, but I remember thinking later, why is that a cheap shot? I mean, how's that a cheap shot? Said, oh, it's another fat joke. Well, I mean, look, folks, please. All of a sudden, the guy's fat is out of bounds. I mean, there's obviously no physical discipline there, you know. You can say what you want about Phil Henry, but I've at least, you know, made serious efforts toward weight loss, of which I've been successful. And I do what I can do, you know. The difference between making a fat joke, say, and making a bald joke or making a black joke is I can't do anything about my fucking hair, you know. Moore has got I'd love to have Michael Moore's head of hair. I can tell you that right now. I mean, he's a lucky guy. He's got a healthy head of fucking hair, you know. But the fact is, the guy is, you know, he's overweight for whatever reason. I don't know. So I thought it was a pretty decent comment to say, if you had a Marine Corps father, now I don't know whether he had the great Santini for a dad. You know, I don't know what kind of Marine Corps father. I've met all kinds of guys that are Marine Corps veterans, and they're not the ball-busting great Santini type. You remember the movie with Robert Duvall where he was, you know, he said, you were kids, you know, he treated his kids like they were Marine Corps recruits. Fact is, it was not a halfway bad gag or joke, but I don't know. Maybe fat cracks are just, you know, not cool. I think there's a difference, though, between joking about something that you can do something about and joking about something that you can't do anything about. You're born that way. It's a terrible disability of some kind, perhaps, as opposed to having just a fucking weight problem. To me, that's like the difference between knocking somebody because of their skin color and knocking somebody because of their religion. While religion is very important in our lives, religion is a choice. It's something you can either pick up or put down whenever you want. You don't have to be any particular religion. You can make the decision not to be. So religion represents a choice that you've made. In other words, it's emblematic of who you are as a person. Skin color is not, other than the fact that it reflects a certain experience you probably had. But religion is a choice. Now, I'm not talking about little kids that are, you know, indoctrinated and they are raised to a certain point and there's nothing they can do about that. They're under the thumb of their parents. But I do mean adults. To take a swing at somebody's religion may seem to be in bad taste, but nonetheless, it is not on a par with a racial epithet. It just isn't. And I gave the reason why. Now, if you get down to, say, people's physicality, you could also make the argument that skin color, gender, sexual orientation, even the lack of hair, you know, taking a shot at somebody because of that is, and someone's age, which I'm getting a lot now. I get that. That is the de facto insult now from every, you know, anybody who is who's too fucking stupid to, you know, really argue a point. And who's also, you know, safely anonymous, and they're just way off in the crowd. Oh, you know, old man, whatever, you know, like I didn't expect that, you know. And it was also, I saw this today on Twitter. I always love this. Says, you know, name calling is a sign. It wasn't to me, it was to somebody else. Name calling is a sign that you got no intelligence and no argument. This was coming from the exact same account that three tweets before had referred to somebody as a lying scumbag. That's people right there. That's the human animal right there. It's beautiful. I mean, we all, in all of our self-righteousness and all of our self-consumed, high opinion of ourselves, and there we are, in all of our bullshit glory. So nothing, people are great, but we are what we are, full of shit, probably more than half the time. Anyway, so someone's age, someone's gender, what are they going to do? Someone's fat because they're just a fat ass. Well, now I know all about the thyroid condition bullshit, folks. I've also been a guy that's battled a weight problem. I know what it's like to use food as an anxiety tranquilizer. And that's exactly what it is for people who have a weight problem that is not strictly tied to some kind of a physiologic issue like a thyroid condition or so on and so forth. This is food or people are eating because it's a fucking crazy world, man. And you're either smoking cigarettes or you're drinking or you're using or you're eating. I'd say fucking, but, that's not practical. You can't be banging your girlfriend or boyfriend every 5 minutes, like you're sucking on a cigarette, if you'll pardon me for saying. Maybe gambling's that way for some people. I don't know. I don't have a gambling addiction. I don't have a drug or an alcohol addiction. But food, and I don't believe I have a food addiction because I'm not 800 pounds, laying in a bed someplace. But I do recognize that food is a great tranquilizing agent. And just like cigarettes, when I smoked cigarettes, I was up to 3 packs a day. Now, that's tough, but that's not something that you can't overcome. That's not something that nature has visited upon you and you are shackled by that and you're in the straitjacket of this thing called fat and there's nothing you can do about it, just like you can't do anything about the color of your eyes. Well, yes, of course, you can. So I was a little bit, I didn't get into it and I didn't argue with anybody about it, but it was another example. I see this quite often of people who, and in that instance, sometimes taking the fat shot is just a cheap shot. But in the instance of a Michael Moore, who wants to bring up the fact that he comes from Marine Corps blood, who wants to bring up the fact that he's got a father and an uncle that were Marines, wants to bring up the fact, all of these things. One of the things my father taught me, so I asked, did your father teach you how to do a sit-up? Anyway. Michael Moore, did the predictable thing. He says the things that, that guys like me, I get upset, but it's okay. It's all right. I understand. That's America. The movie American Sniper, I don't even know if I want to see it. I mean, I generally am a big fan of history and any historical document made by Hollywood that resonates, in some way as truth, like the Lincoln movie. Which I understand Lincoln was not 100% down the line completely fucking accurate. Although I really would like to know where it wasn't. Other than the fact, did he have that conversation at the beginning of the movie with those black soldiers? I have no fucking idea. I know there are plenty of instances where Lincoln was recorded talking to soldiers. Those black soldiers in particular, and that exchange that he had with that one black soldier, I have no idea. He did everything else in the movie is pretty clear. I don't know if the contention he had with his son Robert was quite as dramatic as it appeared. I know that Robert was in the shadow of what would be one of the greatest men in history, his father Abraham Lincoln. So it was probably on some level something he was aware of. Did he have a hard time with it? I know he wanted to be a soldier, and his parents did resist that. And he had Robert Lincoln had to put his own mother in a sanitarium at one point later in her life. But I don't think he ever evidenced any kind of real, you know, strain in his, you know, talked about any real strain or any problem he had with his father, but I can't know. You know, he was the only surviving child. He had two brothers that died young. Must have been a bitch. Must have been terrible. You know, I mean, that house, especially with a war going on, I can't even fucking imagine. So then we bring ourselves to American Sniper. And, you know, that's very recent. And I don't know about recently, you know, history that is instant. You know, I mean, sometimes I would rather that they kind of wait and let the dust settle a little bit before we, you know, decide that we're now ready to write the record of the events. And, you know, the Iraq War and all of those events are, you know, those things have taken on such a not iconic status, but they're milestones, good, bad, or indifferent. There's people that thought it was a good move, and I could argue today, you know, my side of it, I've got no problem at all, you know, especially in light of now what's happened in the Middle East. Not just with the Arab Spring, but also with the terrorist groups. And I think I could do it, but I don't want to do it, you know. And it's one of the things I don't want to do anymore, man. I just don't want to fucking do it anymore. I think it really, just for the purposes of you and me here, as we do this thing, a guy today on Twitter said, I really liked it when you did those, you know, those commentaries you used to do. And, I really appreciate that, but I think that hurt my show. And, you know, it was me. I can tell you this. I didn't affect it. I was really moved by the events of the time, and I wanted to say something about it. I had every intention of, you know, doing a fucking comedy show, man. But when all the shit came down on 9/11, yeah, it hit me pretty hard and changed my head and made me look at things different. And, you know, I was married at the time, and I had four little stepkids to take care of, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, everything is sort of under assault. And the way I saw it, it was probably a good time to be yourself, you know, and to talk about these things. Now, I think what happened to the show is that it got split right down the middle. I think I effectively cut the audience in half, the potential audience. And it's interesting to note that the very highest numbers my radio show got were right after my first summer on the air at KFI, which was before I was national. That was the summer of 97. And then the spring book, the Iraq War book, that was a huge book for the nighttime numbers. So, yeah, I was caught really in a place that there was no getting out of. It was talk radio, and that's where that was at. And if you wanted to listen to a comedy show, you know, you would, who went to talk radio, you know, other than Morning Drive, right? I was doing a comedy show at night. If I'd been a Morning Drive show, it would have been fucking fantastic. I could have stayed away from a lot of that stuff, you know. But the show was not going to be it was a tough show to do as a Morning Drive show. It would have been fucking brutal. The show I do right now, this show would be a perfect Morning Drive show. If somebody just wanted to fucking, you know, not even roll the dice. If somebody said, hey, I got a radio station, need a morning show, boom, you know, put this motherfucker on there. This thing is fucking weird, man. I mean, it's like a satire of a morning show, what I'm doing now. You know, with Margaret, with all these characters I'm doing, it's like a goddamn, it's like you're listening to some fucked up morning show. You know, and this is a better morning show than what I was doing the original show. But anyway, point being, it was what it was, and I felt compelled to do some kind of political talk because everything was swirling around me. You know, I mean, there's, you know, all the other day parts. You know, and if I just stayed the comedy course, probably what I should have done is taken myself off the air for a couple of weeks after 9/11 hit, and then came back on, just the same way everybody else did, you know, and then come back on and just did shtick, just fucking ignored the heavy hitter shit and just did shtick, just did that kind of satire. In retrospect, I think that would have been the best decision. But, you know, now, I mean, what are you going to do about it? At the time, six of one, half a dozen of the other. I don't really think if we take ourselves back in time and we say, oh, wow, I would change that. And then we put ourselves in that time machine and we go back in time, even knowing what we know now, we would go back to that time and we'd look around and we'd say, wow, I don't even know if I should do this or not. You know, because even though I know what's going to happen, I can see the circumstances that I'm in right now. And I just don't think I'm able to. This is why I think the idea of changing the circumstance of life, having lived it, going back and changing it, I don't think it's as easy a thing as we think it is. I think that we're the ones, we're the roadblock, not anything else. We'll go back and we're like, I don't think I want to do this. Well, wait a minute, man, you come from the future, and I know, but I see, I'm in the context of the moment, I see all these other things that are happening, you know. Okay. One of my favorite Star Treks of all time with Captain Picard is he says, I wish that I hadn't been so ambitious. I wish I just would have been happy to be a regular crewman, you know, just a regular ensign or something. Why did I have to be a captain? Why did I have to fucking, God, my life is such a hassle, right? And so he sort of granted his wish. It's like It's a Wonderful Life only Star Trek version of this somehow. I don't know. Maybe it's Guinan, you know, the Whoopi Goldberg. Maybe she trips him back into some third, you know, some fifth dimension, and he's able to do this. But he goes back to this time where he relives his life from the Academy forward, where he's just a regular schlub, and he's nothing special. And he finds that he keeps asking, well, can I go on this mission? I'd like to get promoted. I'd like to... No, you're fine where you are. He's really the personality that it would take to be that guy. That's what he's become. So he's hesitant. He's not sure. He thinks, you know, well, this looked like it would be a really good idea at the time, but now I'm not really sure whether I want to or not, and I think I really like being a captain. I think I'd like to, you know, but he doesn't have the real guts and the balls to what. So that goes back to that old saying, you know, be careful what you wish for because you just might wind up getting it. That's what that means. That's what that means. All right, we're going to get our shit together here. Party time tonight. 10 seconds here. 10 seconds. Get them. Want to get up to my audio vids? Nope. Daily audio? Yes. Okay, here we go.